Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Ich warte seit Wochen auf diesen Tag und tanz vor Freude über den Asphalt, als wär's ein Rhythmus, als gäb's ein Lied, das mich immer weiter durch die Straßen zieht. Komm dir entgegen.
Hallo und welcome to Gegenpressing, the Bundesliga Podcast. I'm Manu Fed. Hier ist Stefan Bielkowski and the show comes from you live from very, very snowy Munich. Minus 10 degrees at the moment, 50 centimeters of brand new snow overnight that actually, Stefan, it's a miracle I'm here. I actually think I made it on one of the last planes to land at Muck or Franz Josef Strauss Airport, it's called, in Munich. And hopeful to see Bayern Munich on Saturday. But that wasn't meant to be. Instead, I got to enjoy the Christmas markets, eat some good food, hang out with the family. Yeah, that was my weekend so far. How about you? How are you doing?
Yeah, I did slightly better. It's been snowing here as well. It's currently minus one here. It's not as bad. Scotland has been covered in snow as well. I was also, coincidentally, furiously trying to figure out a way to fly to Munich as well. Last night, but for different reasons. You were trying to get home to your family. I was trying to book tickets for the Euros next year. I was lucky enough to do that, so booked and ready to go in Munich of all places, and against Germany, against Scotland on the opening day. It's as if the football gods were...
podcast is going to be in trouble.
Well, I was going to say, it's as if the footballing gods were like, let's have a gegenpressing start to this competition. Yeah, it should be good fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know, as I said, like I'm going to host apparently a bunch of Scottish people here at my host house in, or my family's house in Munich. Of course, you would be sleeping in the garden if you'd win. So,
yeah. I hope you've told your poor father, who's probably listening to this podcast right now. This might be the first time he's heard about it. So if he is, I apologize.
he's already, I've already told him yesterday. I told you this before, right? I used to have these friends in Denmark. Oh, I'm still friends with them. It's just they've grown up and have kids now, so they can't do this anymore. But my one buddy in Denmark, he asked me, oh, can I come down for Oktoberfest? And I'm like, yeah, sure. He's like, oh, can I bring my friends? I'm like, yeah, sure. It's like four or five friends every year. For Oktoberfest, so it can't be any worse than them.
No, I know. I think we'll be far more polite, and you know, I'm sure there'll be a really nice bottle of whiskey or something in it for you as well, which is something we can always promise from Scotland. So,
which is much better than the gammeldansk and the marinated fish that they brought.
Yeah, well, I don't think I can't remember the last time marinated fish from Denmark was sold for multiple millions of pounds, quite like the whiskey from Scotland. But I'll leave it there before we start an international incident.
I think my dad is the only non-Danish person that likes that stuff. So,
yeah. Anyways. Well, anyway, should we talk about the football that's actually happening now rather than next summer?
Let's do that. Let's have this little break here, and then let's start talking about actual football. This episode of the Gegenpressing Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. The holiday season is off and rolling, with NFL in full stride and the NBA and NHL hitting mid-season form. BetOnline is your number one destination for all your sports wagering info. For up-to-the-minute sports wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions, BetOnline is the top spot for everything pro and amateur sports. And not just the big four. BetOnline has info available at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access at any time for almost any sport that is played, from MMA to international soccer. Head to BetOnline today and remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that is BLEAV, BELIEVE, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Yeah, Stefan, you want to talk about the news a bit first, or should we jump straight into the big game?
I mean, we should probably clear up a few things as to why we're doing the show this way, and maybe just a service announcement for the week ahead, because it's pretty crazy for both of us, isn't it?
Well, so fingers crossed, with a little luck, both of us will make it to Hamburg tomorrow on Monday, right? you may have noticed it's a little difficult, especially where I am right now, and there is snow in the forecast for Monday in Hamburg. So, with a little luck, we'll be in Hamburg tomorrow, and then we'll be there for a week. Things might be a little different. We'll get the content out as we usually do, just giving a heads up that things might be a little bit different, right? I think we're trying to flag down Sepp to a special show, right? We'll see.
We will. There's a good chance this week may descend into some kind of Home Alone 2 effort where we're just aimlessly running around the city looking for somewhere to stay or looking for a house with power. But we will strive to continue with the regular scheduled podcasting, newsletters, and everything in between. We also have a Christmas party at Transfermarkt on the Thursday night, which I've been told routinely goes into the 2, 3, 4 a.m. slot.
Which means we need to record the previous show before that.
Or during it.
That might be a terrible idea. We'll find the right slots. We'll do it during lunch breaks or we'll figure it out. There is enough rooms at the office for recording. That's the good news. So we should be able to do it. It's going to be interesting. And then also, of course, want to point out Matt did a really good piece on the Topspiel this week, right? That's already up. We're going to try to get a Monday bulletin up as well. Might be a little later because, you know, we're probably going to put it together while we're traveling, but we're going to try to get it up. And also, because I've been asked this by a few people, the Bayern game, right? And the way it was cancelled. I think Bayern Munich put out a really good statement about why they had to do this, right? The field was actually okay to play on, Stefan, but it's really the travel situation in and around the city made it almost impossible. I walked around downtown today, and even though, you know, at this point some roads have been cleared and sidewalks have been cleared, it was just treacherous even to walk, right? So now imagine 75,000 people trying to go that big walkway up to the stadium. Then there was 50 centimeters of snow onto the roof. Now imagine that falling down midday game, right? There's been pictures from inside the Allianz Arena as well that showed several seats fully covered in snow. And at that stage, the way it works, the DFB, the DFL, and the hosting club sit together and they decide whether a game goes ahead. And then there's different jurisdiction levels, right? If this would have been a matter of just the field, then it's the referees that decide whether the field is good or not good to play, right? Obviously, the field was okay. Then it's the Bundesliga, if they have a scheduling conflict or they feel like it's safe to play, they then talk to the club. And in this case, Bayern Munich, as the host and the owner of the stadium, right, the event manager, so to speak, they had to make a clear statement that it was simply not safe for 75,000 people to attend the game. And at that stage, and this was basically what people at the DFL told me, if the organizers say, it's just not safe, at that moment, the game is simply off. And I think, you know, when you really look at it, I looked out Saturday morning and I could barely look out the house because there was just massive snow. And I looked at my mom and said, there's no way. There's just no way, right? We couldn't even get out of our house. And simply really quickly after that, it was called off. So I personally think it's the right decision. It's a smart decision. And it looks like this game will be played in January 2024. Because, you know, the way it works, the DFB is, you know, there would be a slot open this week because of the DFB Pokal, right? Both teams have eliminated. But the DFB doesn't like have Bundesliga games going on at the same time as the Pokal. Because they don't want the spotlight to go off the Pokal to the Bundesliga. So the rescheduling will be in January, likely right after the Christmas break. So there you got it. That's the Bayern bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? It'd be really, it's interesting that Bayern do have that kind of, game in hand, because we've talked about this in recent seasons about how... it's usually the other way around that, maybe not, actually, I don't know, Bayern sometimes revel in having that last game on a Sunday night, they get to watch what happens before it, sometimes it works in the favour of the team who've played before, sometimes it plays in the favour of the team who are playing in hand, but it probably means that Leverkusen are now going to be top of the table for the winter break, unless, of course, they start dropping points, which I'm sure we're going to talk about in a moment. But it's an interesting psychological thing as well, on top of the kind of obvious logistics, which make perfect sense. It'll be interesting to see how that does impact Bayern's season going forward.
I thought quite a bit about that yesterday, and I think they would have smashed Union Berlin on Saturday. Okay. But do we know that's actually still going to happen in January? Union could be a much different club then.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess we'll just kind of have to wait and see what happens, aren't we? I mean, it's tricky. But like you said, and we talked about Union recently and how you would think there'd be big changes in January. But, my money is obviously still on Bayern to beat Union in any kind of form. Even when they're at their absolute best last season, they struggled against Bayern to a large extent, if I'm not mistaken. Unless I'm clearly forgetting stuff. We'll see what happens, I guess, is the long and short of it.
Yeah. No, it is fascinating. And then before we get into the big game too, and I wrote quite a bit about this yesterday, not going to the Bayern game meant I got to see the U17 win the World Cup. And they did this in front. And I've talked about this generation a couple of times already on the show and to the subscribers, right, in the chat that we have. So if you haven't subscribed yet, you can join that there, because I've been asked about this U17 and I've talked to quite a few scouts and so on about this team, and there's at least five or six guys on this team that are surefire stars, right? And I've been really impressed by the way they navigated this tournament. They go into this tournament as the reigning U17 European champion and now have completed the double, I guess, by winning the U17 World Cup as well. And they beat Spain, Argentina, and France in the knockout stage back-to-back-to-back. And doing it by having to come some pretty big obstacles. The Argentina game, they were up twice, conceded late to have the game to go into penalties, where Hintze, the goalkeeper, made two fabulous stops. And then against France, they were dominant. After the second goal, conceded that goal and then lost a player to a red card, and they managed to get that game into penalties, where once again the goalkeeper was outstanding. And you know what? I think why lots of Germans were captivated by this team, Stefan, is not because they were clearly, they're clearly very, very talented. And that showed throughout the tournament. In fact, the best player wasn't even there because he had to leave injured, right? That's Uwe Draugo, we've talked about on the show as well, the Schalke talent. But I think it's because that when they faced adversity, they showed a sort of mentality and the good old German virtues or deutsche Tugenden that we've kind of been missing from the senior team, right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of Germans watch this team and have been watching this team saying, huh, so these virtues do still exist. How can we get them to get them into the senior team? Because like it's one thing to be clearly talented. And, you know, I don't think the issue with the German national team is just talent. There's a lot of other things going on there. And when you look at this U17 team and the way that they were just able, when they faced adversity, they didn't fall over. And I think that resonated with a lot of people here. It was over all the major TV, like it was on major TV here, the final, right? Mm-hmm. And then all the actual sports studio, which is like the big show, they showed it before the Topspiel, which is usually the big highlight show that they do. They showed that before the Topspiel, you know, and usually youth tournaments don't get a lot of attention here. But I think what resonated with it was just the fact that this team had some fight in it.
Yeah, I mean, that's so interesting that it was on TV, because if you compare that to the World Cup last year, where most games weren't even shown on big screens at the cities around the country because there was just no interest, or not that there was no interest, but obviously there was a huge kind of backlash to the World Cup being in Germany, in the Middle East. You know, that in itself turned off a lot of fans, but it was obviously the fact as well that the national team just was not inspiring people for a long time. Even if you take results out of it, there's been a lot of disconnect between, you know, the German FA, match-going football fans at the Bundesliga and lower down the leagues. And it's they're obviously doing what they can to try and fix things. You know, they're changing the nickname, they're getting rid of the D-Mannschaft and, you know, big heads of roles in Frankfurt. But it's not really resonating with fans just yet. And that hasn't helped by the fact that leading up to this World Cup, to this Euros, Germany, the senior team, are having to basically just play a series of, you know, uncompetitive matches. I think the jury's still out on actually how good this team is or how bad it is, because we'll never know until they play a competitive match. And, you know, I was sitting with some friends last night. I was actually on a Christmas night out with some friends from university, and few of them were going to the Euros next year, and they said, oh, that's fantastic that they got Germany. And I was like, well, just hold on a minute. We don't really know the measure of this team until they step through in a competitive game, never mind one in which they're hosting the tournament. So we need to kind of wait and see whether the senior team can make up that kind of difference. But the fact that under-17s have done this and the manner in which they've done it is such a great inspiration for the first team. And it just shows exactly what they should be doing to try and win over the fans.
It's quite simple. Win some games and show some heart. But I mean, that's sometimes all it takes to inspire a nation, right? Because like this tournament was kind of like, oh yeah, the U17 is really good. And then they like won all three games at the group stage. And people were like, oh yeah, like that's cool. And then they beat Spain and they're like, oh, let's put this on main TV. And then they beat Argentina, right? We were like the favorites to win the World Cup. And they're like, oh, wow, this team could actually really do something. And then all of a sudden, all the major newspapers and Kicker and all these outlets were covering it. And it really shows you that it doesn't take a lot to inspire a country, right? We see this with smaller sports. You know, the basketball team, for example, won the World Championships this year, right? And at the beginning of the tournament, people didn't really tune in. And then as the tournament progressed, then people realized, hey, well, this team is actually really good. People started following and watching it. And that's really, I think, what it takes. And that's somehow something that Julian Nagelsmann and his boys have to capture. I mean, we saw a little bit of it when they beat France right after Flick was fired, right? You had that little bit of a spark already. Then, of course, you had these two terrible national team games against Austria and Turkey. Which, Stefan, and I think I said this before on the show, is a tricky one, right? Because for Germany, these are just friendlies that you have to go get, you have to just play and get out of the way. Whereas for Turkey and Austria, because of the history, those are big games that you want to win. And so it just creates a dynamic that makes it really difficult to judge this national team. So, yeah, I guess the jury is out. I think that's a really good way of saying it. But I think this U17 national team gave you a really good blueprint on how to navigate a tournament, even when you face some obstacles. And I have to say, I think on balance too, this U17 in its age group, the squad is more balanced and better than the senior team, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? So, you know, this that you have to kind of take that into consideration. You know, in its peer group, that U17 team is probably one of the best, well, right now, the best in the world. So it's a little bit different. So, you know, you have to take that into consideration, of course. They weren't lucky or anything. They were simply one of the best teams. But yeah, good for them.
I mean, if all else fails, Dagelsmann could always just call up the under-17s and let them play the Euros next year.
Apparently, they know how to win a tournament, so give it to them. But you know what actually would be smart? Christian Wick, who was the head coach of this tournament and has been putting this to game, coach this team for this last 3 years, call him up. You know, just bring him in as one of the coaches just to kind of share that expertise. It's maybe not the worst idea in the world. So, you know, the coaching staff could maybe use someone like that. Yeah, just a thought.
No, absolutely. It'll be interesting to see what happens from going on, but it's great news for German. It's just great news finally for German football fans to kind of enjoy and have something to celebrate. I guess we'll kind of see where they go from here.
You know, it's been like decades and decades and decades since we've won a World Cup, so you know it's hard being a German national team. okay, let's talk about this top spiel because. Stefan, I don't know about you, but I thought this was an incredibly fascinating game that absolutely lived up to its billing. It was a game between two teams that were tactically set up very different. I think that when you write the narrative of a game, and you always have to do that, right? I think that that early Dortmund goal, you know, kind of was like almost giving away, well, you know how you can bury the lead? This is like the opposite of it because it dictated so much of how the rest of the game went and was a real test for Leverkusen, especially when, you know, Dortmund score first. By the way, Füllkrug, his work ahead of the Riasson goal, superb. I thought that was really, really good how he shielded the ball and made the space. But the fact then that VAR intervened and took away the equalizer for Leverkusen, I think that made it a real, real test. Probably the toughest test, actually, that Alonso faced yet this season, tactically at least, right? Because of the way Dortmund were set up. And I thought that made it so interesting because there was one point where I wrote this in the chat, I'm like, this Leverkusen side could play another 2 hours and won't score. They did score because of Patrick Schick, but Stefan, this was a hugely fascinating game.
Yeah, it was an incredible game. It was thoroughly enjoyable. And, you know, I mean, to start with the Dortmund goal, I do still have suspicions that Füllkrug was offside, like, in the first play of the game. It's not really important. It's not really something to dwell on because, you know, VAR either looked at it and said it wasn't something, or they just decided to leave it because it was a good maybe 20 passes before the goal itself.
But hold back on that. Wasn't that the same with Boniface? Let's say it was offside. We don't know, but Boniface's offside was like 3 or 4 passes ahead of time too.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I mean, if he was offside, then they missed a huge call there, but maybe they looked at it and they didn't. Kind of well to give him the benefit of the doubt there, because I just really can't be bothered complaining about refereeing calls or conspiracies or anything like that. So I'll just leave it at that. But yeah, I mean, I think you know, more or less, it was a match which, you know, we kind of saw the best of both these teams. You know, I think Leverkusen played their exact style of football. That we've seen them play all season. We've seen them dominate Dortmund, as we've seen them, you know, take control of a game against Bayern Munich earlier in the year. We saw them do the same against Leipzig, and it was further proof that this Leverkusen team can really impose themselves tactically on just about any team in German football right now, which is just itself absolutely fascinating. And you know, they had a handful of chances. That kind of Palacios chance comes to mind, where Hummels kind of got in the last minute, I think it was. There was a couple of...
note for later, we need to talk about Hummels.
Yes, of course, absolutely. And then, of course, on the flip side, you had a Dortmund team who more or less approached this game like a Champions League match. You know, the manner in which they scored the goal, maybe there's a bit of luck in it, not just in the sense of, like, you know, the offside calls mentioned, but just the way that the ball kind of bubbles through the box and Rearson ends up just kind of showing up out of nowhere to score. It was very kind of Marcel Schmelzer-ish or, you know, Kevin Grosskreutz, in the sense that you're just like, what the hell is he doing there? And then he suddenly sticks the ball in the back, isn't it? And, you know, you did kind of wonder whether maybe they've scored too early there, or are they going to be able to hold out and do this for the full 90 minutes? But more or less, that's exactly what they did. And I think, you know, we've talked about this on the show a few times now this season, and we keep going back to it. This Dortmund team do seem to be far more comfortable when they can sit deep, play defensively, and try and hit teams on the counter-attack. And I think that largely comes down to the fact that that kind of system and those kind of tactics get the best out of their two best players. And their two best players this season have been Gregor Kobel and Mats Hummels by a country mile, in my opinion. And I think both of them were, you know, at the top of their game today. You can maybe make an argument that Hummels does kind of run off in the lead up to Leverkusen goal, and kind of, you know, he loses Patrick Schick, which gives him the space to do what he does in the box. But aside from that kind of 15 seconds, he was basically faultless throughout the match. And there's a humility to him this season. We've talked about how him and Marco Reus have kind of had these renaissances at Dortmund because they no longer feel maybe the burden of being the captain or senior captain or whatever of this team. They're not the saviors of this Dortmund team anymore. They're just good senior players, and it seems that both players have really kind of thrived without having that limelight placed upon them. And yeah, you're absolutely right. Hummels has been outstanding, which is so interesting. But in this game, in the Champions League game against AC Milan, another match as we've seen this season, he's been pivotal to them picking up points like this.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of the Gegenpressing Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. The holiday season is off and rolling, with NFL in full stride and the NBA and NHL hitting mid-season form. BetOnline is your number one destination for all your sports wagering info. For up-to-the-minute sports wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions, BetOnline is the top spot for everything pro and amateur sports. And not just the big four. BetOnline has info available at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access at any time for almost any sport that is played, from MMA to international soccer. Head to BetOnline today and remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that is B-L-E-A-V, BELIEVE, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. The last 180 minutes were incredibly outstanding by Mats Hummels. It's not just the manner and his presence, but his timing is impeccable. It was the Palacios one that you mean, the monster tackle, right? Just before he gets in, and then I don't know how Hummels does that. It's just, you know, to time it that way is so incredibly difficult. I think 99 out of 100 players would probably break Palacios' leg there and go off with a red card and never play a game again, right? And get a penalty and all that sort of stuff. But he times these challenges so well. And his opening pass at the moment is also, you know, quite outstanding. You contrast that with Emre Can, who almost gave a goal away, right? Where they played the ball short out of the back, and he has that moment of madness where he loses complete focus. And Hummels' game right now is just so immaculate, is probably the best word for it. It's just perfect. It's perfect defending. There was a really good line, and unfortunately I don't have it in front of me, but the technical team at UEFA awards the man of the match. They have a little sentence that they write on why the player gets a man of the match, and he was the man of the match against Milan. And they just said it was technically outstanding. Rephrasing it, it was technically outstanding defending. Mats Hummels showed the highest level expected from a center back, and you know the wording was just, it just underlined everything that you need to know about Mats Hummels' game, and you could basically just reprint that entire thing and use it for this performance, because he was perfect. I think without Mats Hummels and VAR, Dortmund lose this game probably 3-0 or 4-1, right? And that I think is everything you need to know. And you know who else I think had a really good game on the left there was Rierson. I mean, he scores the goal, right? But his work rate against Frimpong was outstanding. There was moments where he won almost every single tackle. And you balance, or you take that in opposite to Marius Wolf, where the side that was way more open, right, and way more dangerous. I thought, you know, he had a really good game as well. And yeah, I think, you know, without those two and Kobel, of course, Dortmund would have been in a lot of trouble. There was this one moment, and I put this in the chat, the free kick by Grimaldo, where Hummels runs back and he knows exactly where the ball ends up. I'm not sure how I would feel about that as a goalkeeper, because that's my corner. But I had to really laugh. I'm like, what is he doing? And then the ball ends up there, and I'm like, wow, did he like just as an insurance marker stand there? I thought it was quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you said, like, does he not trust Kobel? And I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if Mats Hummels trusts none of his teammates at Dortmund this season, at least in the defensive sense.
Yeah, but Kobel has been good.
Kobel's the exception, of course. But, I mean, his other central defenders. And, you know, I think you're right. I think Rierson, if you look at that defense over the course of the season, I think Rierson's the only other one who comes out with pass marks. I think if you had Ben Zabaini at left back for that game, I think Frimpong runs rings around him. And I think the key thing about Rierson is really important, is that he might not be the fastest player, he might not be the most technical player, but he seems to always know where to be. He knows his positioning has to be set. He never strikes me as a player who is often caught out of position, even though he's technically playing on the wrong side. He's obviously, you know, he's a right-footed fullback. I know he can play left-back very well. He's got plenty of experience doing it, but it's still an extra task to do that with your weaker foot. And yeah, you're absolutely right. I actually thought Frimpong had a pretty poor game on the whole.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought that's because of Rierson.
No, of course, but even like I thought his delivery was quite poor, and I think, you know, just to kind of maybe shift the discussion over towards Leverkusen for a moment, I thought it was really fascinating how they struggled to break this Dortmund team down, because I guess they're maybe used to finding the space that they have to find in the box. They're used to breaking teams down. They're used to running through players, teams. They're used to playing 1-2s, having Frimpong, you know, running behind. And this Dortmund team are perhaps the first good team that they've played who are willing to sit this deep. You know, and what I mean by that is they've obviously would have played teams who have sit this deep but don't have, you know, Mats Hummels in the box or Gregor Kobel between the posts. They've played teams who have as good defenders as Dortmund, if not better, but Leipzig and Bayern aren't obviously going to sit that deep. They're going to sit on the halfway line. They're going to try and take the game to Leverkusen. And that's why Leverkusen more or less had a lot of success against both those teams. So this is probably the first combination of good players who are humbly defending very deep. And I thought that made Victor Boniface look very, very average. You know, I don't want to obviously pick on the guy too much, but it was the first time I've watched him this season. I thought, he's just not offering anything here. And I know he huffed and puffed and he tried to get onto as much as he could. And I know he was probably battling physically with players the whole game. And God knows he didn't have a huge amount of space to work into. But the fact that Patrick Schick comes on and immediately makes a difference, I think, was quite telling. And hey, I mean, anyone who was hoping that Leverkusen were going to kind of drop points or kind of begin to fade off, the fact that Patrick Schick has now come back from injury, and I mean, it's easy to figure out how good he was for Leverkusen when he was fit. You know, I think a fit and informed Patrick Schick is as good a striker. You know, he's maybe not a top tier striker, and he's maybe not Harry Kane, he's maybe not Erling Haaland, but you know, he is a very, very good striker. He brings something to that Leverkusen team that maybe Boniface struggled to do in this game. And it routinely felt like Leverkusen were getting to the edge of that Dortmund box. Sometimes they would get past the first guy, but it was either the service or the fact that Boniface just wasn't finding the space. I mean, the amount of times I've watched Florian Wirtz or Frimpong or Grimaldo try and cut a ball back to Boniface and two or three Dortmund players got their first to the ball, I thought was really telling. But look, Leverkusen are still top of the table. They're still unbeaten in all competitions. And, you know, I think it says a lot about how far they've come under Xavi Alonso that they absolutely battered Dortmund for about, 88 minutes of this game. And they've walked away with it with a point, but are probably really frustrated at that. And that's the kind of Bayern Munich level of expectation. You know, only Bayern have the right to walk away from a game like that and play that well and be frustrated. But the fact that Leverkusen are doing it shows just how good a team they are.
Yeah, it was really interesting. First of all, I need to say this. Why can we not have the Zone Germany in Canada? It's so much better. They had Michael Ballack on, who I think did a really good job breaking down this game. And it was really interesting hearing the commentary that he made about Leverkusen. Obviously, he's a former Bayer Leverkusen player, right? And part of the Vizekusen side in 2002. And, you know, he made a really excellent point about Victor Boniface that I thought was quite interesting. He said he's an excellent striker, but his timing is still sometimes off and he stands too much on offside, which I know it was beyond the end, but you know, that play that was felt like it was a minute before Florian Wirtz with his incredible finish did make it 1-1, right? And the goal got called back. But that did cost Leverkusen the goal, right? And it's interesting that Michael Ballack points that out. You know, Michael Ballack was that kind of player that was very much detail oriented, right? He had a quite successful career. And I think it's really fascinating that he picked on that. And he picked on that just before Victor Boniface stood offside before the Florian Wirtz goal, right? And I think that's maybe some small things that just he has to work on still. He's by no means a finished product. And I think the other thing is too that with Patrick Schick, we have to remember that a healthy Patrick Schick 2 years ago some clubs are willing to pay 70 million euros for him, right? And that just shows you the sort of toolkit he has if he's healthy. And I think that is the biggest obstacle for Patrick Schick to be a game changer for the side. I don't think the Africa Cup is going to have as big of an impact as a lot of people believe. I think it isn't really that many games, right, that players would actually miss. And it's also around the Bundesliga break anyhow. So I don't think it's that many games. And the other aspect is too that Cousinou is going to be gone, right? And Tapsoba and Boniface. So hopefully Schick is going to be back. But in defense, they're quite deep on those positions. So I don't actually think that it's going to hurt them as much as people think. Cousinou, by the way, I thought had a really good game. The way he pushed up the field was really fascinating to watch. Of course, that is going to be a difficult aspect to replace. But I also think that Simon Rolfe is... In North American sports, they do this quite a bit. There's a name for this, right? That you add when you win, right? You know, you always try to add pieces before whenever the deadline day is, the trade deadline day in your respective sports in North America. And this is very much true for the Bundesliga too. I think that Simon Rolfe is going to give this team has earned a chance to win. And that is that chance to win the Bundesliga title, right? And the team has earned that. And I think the team has earned Bayer Leverkusen maybe adding one or two pieces in the summer and in the winter to ensure that the Africa Cup isn't going to be a big of an issue. And I think those who've seen Simon Rolfe is at work during the summer and the pieces that he's added, I'm pretty sure he has something planned for January.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you talk about that squad. I mean, you're absolutely right. They are pretty well stocked in defence in the sense that, you know, Hinkapi and Stanisic haven't even really played at all this season. And Hinkapi's a player who's, you know, you talk about a 70 million euro player in the striker in Patrick Schick, but I don't know why I forgot his name there for a moment. you know, Hinkapi's another one who's been heavily linked with huge moves because of his form over the last couple of years. Stanisic also very high rated at Bayern, so those are two players who could obviously step in and offer something. I do think Cousinou is just going from strength to strength this season. I've been so impressed with him. I think defensively he was so impressive today. The fact that Dortmund brought in someone like Adeyemi and Cousinou was still able to kind of deal with that pace at that stage of the game, I thought was really impressive. The only thing that he really let himself down was when he kind of got wound up by, you know, Marius Wolf when the kind of handbags came out, which, you know, fine. Maybe that just shows a bit of...
You know, can I say something about that real quick? I thought the referee handled that really well.
Yeah. I tell you who else handled that really well, and it showed his experience, was Mats Hummels, because he got knocked over at one point and he just kind of fell over and he put his hands up. And that was opposite of him saying, I'm already booked. I'm making it perfectly clear that I'm having nothing to do with this. Do not send me off just because someone's pushed me over. Do not send me off. Where I think maybe 5 or 6 years ago, he would have got up and pushed that person back. But yeah, I think Coulson has been really, really outstanding. Jonathan Tah had an amazing game, I thought. I mean, I know obviously Füllkrug got the assist for the important goal, but I thought the way that he handled Füllkrug was so fascinating. And he's just come on leaps and bounds, and, you know, hopefully he can finally begin to kind of look like that player we've all been hoping he would become one day,
especially for the German national team. But that is the point that I always make about Nico Schlotterbeck. Nico Schlotterbeck at 23. Like, how often have we written off Jonathan Tah? Right? The guy just needed a proper coach and some experience.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's also got Cousinou and Tapsoba either side of him, which he does not have for Germany.
Yeah, but you can make a point that he wasn't really surrounded by good defenders in the past.
No, of course, absolutely.
Oh, I mean, like for Germany. I mean, I actually don't think Antonio Rüdiger is a bad defender.
No, of course not. No, I know, but we'll see how it translates to the German national team next summer. But the only thing I wanted to bring up in terms of the depth, the only thing I'm maybe thinking this Leverkusen side's beginning to creak a little bit, you know, you would have said up front before Patrick Schick came back, but I thought it was quite telling that when Xavi Alonso wanted to kind of change things up, he brought Grimaldo inside. He brought Adli on for Hoffman, and Adli more or less it was Adli that more or less became the de facto left wing back, and then Grimaldo kind of slotted in as another central midfielder. And if you actually look at that bench that Leverkusen had for the game, okay, they've got, you know, Robert Andrich on the bench, who, you know, we all know what he can do defensively, but the only really attacking central player on the bench was Hložek, and for some reason or another, Adam Hložek just is not working out at Bayer Leverkusen. It might work out in the future, but it's just not really happening for him right now. And I think that's maybe the one part of the squad that, you know, if I was Simon Rolfes, I would probably be saying, we need maybe more, we need someone else in there who can kind of step in a game like this, maybe replace someone like Palacios when they're beginning to look a little heavy in the legs, and offer, you know, a little more attacking threat, because I think that's maybe what Leverkusen lacked in this game. The fact that Grimaldo was asked to kind of become this de facto playmaker in the middle of the park probably shows where the lack of depth in the squad maybe lies, and maybe where they have to fix it in January.
Yeah, I thought, I wrote this in the chat, right? I said that Adli replacement was a mistake. I know what he tried to do there, offer something different, right? Because Hoffmann is an out wide player and Adli goes a little bit through the middle. So he tried to mix it up because it wasn't working. But I just felt for like a good 10 minutes, the momentum that Leverkusen had was just gone, right? Which actually kind of underlines the point that you made there. Maybe it's not because Adli came on, but because it kind of forced Grimaldo into a role that he's just not comfortable with. And Andrich, I think, is a good piece. But you bring that guy on when you're up 1-0 over Dortmund and you are trying to fend Dortmund off. That's when you bring on Andrich. You're not bringing him on when you're chasing a lead, right? And that is just like, and I think that is a really good point you're making. You almost need more substance in midfield. I think it was Pep Guardiola who said you can never have enough midfielders, right? So I think that is kind of true, and I think that is probably the area that they have to look at and say, okay, yeah, here, that's someone else that we need to bring in. And Rolfes will notice, right? Like he was a former midfielder that pretty much played the exact same role, so I'm pretty sure he's more than aware of that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, and I, you know, the commentary that I was listening to was Derek Gray, I think it was Stefan Freunde, and you know, Freund was talking a lot about the shots that Leverkusen were taking, the fact that Grimaldo kept lining up these long shots. And he was saying, oh yeah, of course, Alonso would have probably advised him to do that half time. And I was thinking to myself, that doesn't make any sense. Why?
No, Alonso hates that.
Yeah, and why? And if you're playing against any other team, but, you know, there's no way that anyone is looking at that Dortmund team and thinking, let's just hit long shots at Gregor Kobel all day, because if there's any goalkeeper in the Bundesliga right now who can handle that, it's Gregor Kobel. So I felt like that was maybe, I mean, and there were so many opportunities where the ball came at the edge of the box and a Xhaka or a Grimaldo or a Palacios just smacked it over the bar. The only composed shot the entire game was actually Florian Wirtz, which was offside, unfortunately. Yeah, it was an interesting game, but I think that's maybe it maybe showed where this Leverkusen team might have a few kind of, I don't go so far as to say cracks, because, you know, they're still top, they're still unbeaten, and they've just absolutely dominated a Dortmund team who've done very well in the Champions League this season. But yeah, I think that midfield, they might need another central midfielder in January.
You know, there was a lot of commentary about this. Oh yeah, that's 2 points for Bayern Munich gained, and the title race is over. I'm like, getting a point against Dortmund at home was actually a pretty good result, you know, especially when you were down 1-0. Would have Leverkusen liked to win this game? Yeah, 100%. I mean, I watched the reactions after the game by Alonso, and Florian Wirtz actually came to the zone and had an interview with Michael Ballack, which I want to get to that in a moment because I thought it was really interesting. The reactions very much told you that they wanted to win this game. But at the same time, you know, you gained a point here from a losing position against one of the three or four best teams in the Bundesliga. And we've seen Bayern Munich plenty this year, knowing that if they had been in the same situation, it's not guaranteed that they would have gotten a win there either, right? So you need to pick up points here and there just to be in the race so that if Bayern Munich do stumble somewhere, that point can be worth its weight in gold. And it's not those games that you necessarily need to win. Where Dortmund lost the title last year was against Stuttgart, Bremen and Mainz. Those are the teams you need to beat on a regular, right? And that's how you go and win the title. So I actually don't think this result is the end of the world. A loss would have been bad. I think that would have taken out momentum. They're having a really difficult opponent next week. A game that I'm going to, Stefan, Stuttgart against Leverkusen, unless there's more snow. So no guarantees there. But I am planning to go to Stuttgart against Leverkusen, a game I'm really looking forward to. But this exchange between Ballack and Wirtz was really interesting because it reminded me of when I interviewed him last year, right? He's still a really introvert kid. Michael Ballack asked him a question about, oh, you played in such an open free position. Can you explain to me why you did that? And then Wirtz got really defensively. He's like, yeah, I just tried to create space. And then halfway between his answer, Ballack had to stop him. I'm like, oh, by the way, that was a compliment. I thought it was just very interesting that you played that way. And I actually thought it was a compliment. It was really interesting because like when you talk to him as a person, he still has that really shy personality. And I'm just waiting for, I actually wonder once Wirtz becomes, it gets more out of his shell, I think we're going to see an even more impressive player there, because you can obviously tell that in his mind, he's still not 100% comfortable with the really free-flowing, creative, game-solving player that he is for Leverkusen. You know what I mean? And I just thought that exchange was so interesting that like, Ballack actually had to tell them, like, no, actually, this is a good thing. I complimented you here.
Yeah, exactly. It's fascinating how he is developing and how much is kind of expected of him.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're absolutely right in terms of like the result. I mean, you know, I made a joke in the chat, like, you know, Bayern won the weekend and didn't have to step on the football pitch. I was obviously being a little, you know, facetious and just kind of a little cheeky, shall we say. But if you know, you're absolutely right. It's important that Leverkusen don't drop points against the smaller clubs. And, you know, as we've seen Bayern do so many times on their way to winning the title, as long as they just don't lose games, it's usually enough. I mean, and by games, I mean these kind of one-off games against the best teams in the league. Now, Dortmund obviously haven't been up to the races for a long time when it comes to matches against Bayern. But if you look at those Leipzig matches, for example, in recent years, like, you know, I know Leipzig obviously beat them in the Super Cup, but in the league, there's been plenty of opportunities where Leipzig have played Bayern off the pitch, but Bayern have done some job just to make sure they don't lose that game. And that can be so vital as well. I mean, it might sound like I'm kind of covering my ass here because I said I thought Leverkusen would win this comfortably. I do still think if you play that game 100 times, 99 out of 100, I think Leverkusen win that match, to be honest with you. So, you know, it's not as if they played poorly. It's not as if they're beginning to look tired. It's not as if they're beginning to drop off. They look fine. And the fact that they still got to play Bayern at home, I think is huge for this potential title race. You know, if they can kind of continue to grind out results and not drop points against the likes of Stuttgart or Frankfurt or even Leipzig, who they've got to play before that Bayern game in February, then, you know, they can then go into that game against Bayern and say, we're the ones who don't have to lose here. It's not that we have to beat Bayern to catch them, which is often the case with Dortmund over the years. You know, they have to, if they can just go to the Allianz Arena and get 3 points, then maybe the title race is on. You know, how many times have we been there? If Leverkusen can be in a position where they can say, Bayern have to come here and they have to beat us to win this title, then, you know, I think Leverkusen is in a really strong position. And I think that is the position they remain in right now.
Yeah, no, I think you're 100% right. Of course, they face a really difficult task next week against Stuttgart. Yeah. Stuttgart side the battered Bremen. I watched some of the game and then I watched the extended highlights on the Aktuelle Sport Studio. It was a 2-0 that should have been a 5-0, Stefan. It was not close. And this Stuttgart side has now two hot strikers. Undav coming on, really great form. By the way, eligible for the German national team. Just saying. We do need strikers. He's a good one. But yeah, the Stuttgart side is going to be a really good test. A very different test than Dortmund, right? Because they like to play football themselves. They now play with two two number nines rather than one. You've written quite a lot about Sebastian Hoeneß. I've written a couple pieces as well. Really interested to see it now actually removed, because the last time I saw Stuttgart live in stadium was at that relegation playoff in Hamburg, right? And I'm really curious to actually now see them as this top team that they are in Germany, playing another top team. I think it's going to be a very different thing, and that's going to be a really interesting test. Yeah, you know what my Spiel of the Woche is next week. I think I kind of gave it away already, but yeah, that's going to be interesting. But I think we did a really good job summing this game up. Is there any final things that you want to add?
No, just again, a minor warning, potentially, just to say to bear with us this week as we obviously try and get things out. We hope this, we're sorry we didn't get to maybe cover more teams in this episode. It's just the nature of the week, the way the weekend's gone. We've still close to an hour worth of stuff of talking.
We had different plans, so I'm just saying, snow.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. we do strive to get to games, and that's all because people support us through listening to the show and subscribing. So as ever, continue to do that, please. I'm looking forward to the week ahead. Should be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be great in Hamburg. So we're going to have some special content from Hamburg. We don't know when yet, so bear with us. Then obviously next week I am trying to get to Stuttgart, and I'm also, Stefan, on Saturday, I'm punishing myself again. I'm doing this at least once a year. I'm going to an 1860 game.
Nice.
You say nice. I'm not so sure. I feel the same way. But so there's going to be a follow-up from my last year's newsletter on that. So keep your eyes open for that. There's a lot happened at 1860. I might have to do three or four, to be actually quite frank with you. It's drama. It's drama. Bring out the popcorn. Anyways, this podcast is brought to you by Bet Online. We'll be back at some point later this week. Enjoy the midweek games, by the way. Lots of great DFB Pokal actions, so keep an eye on that as well. And we'll be back at some point next week. Until then, auf Wiedersehen.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
My name is Molly, and I'm a political science major at Kent State University. Kent State has these core values, kindness, respect, and purpose in all we do. Ever since I was old enough to understand the legal system, I've wanted to help serve justice, and I would like to be a prosecutor for the city of Cleveland and then hopefully move up to the county in the Justice Center downtown. Kindness and respect go a long way. As a prosecutor, you have to be kind to all parties of the courtroom to truly help everybody involved.
Spectrum Business knows small business owners have to do it all. Get Spectrum One for Business. Just $49.99 a month for internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for a year. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.